Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your boom. Steam squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like,
hey girls, hey, welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay.
Welcome back to the pod. Hope everyone is doing well.
How are we are so glad to have you here, guys.
We are so happy to welcome you into our space. How are you all?
It's a crazy space.
How are you, Lindsay?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
You're fucking good?
I'm great. As well as can be.
Good.
Due to the circumstance.
Yes.
Not so serious. We're used to it now. I'm not sleeping great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There, I said it.
Me and my restless leg syndrome are still fucking shit up.
You're still battling the restless leg.
Yeah. We speak about that in...
Our
latest Triple X Girls. We have quite a segment on restless leg syndrome and not sleeping well.
Keeping that really good shit
for
aside.
Yeah. And you said on Triple X Girls that it went into your hand and arm. And hello, samesies, bitch, which is so weird.
It's magnesium.
I know. I've started taking it. So hopefully it will... work soon.
I wonder what it's from.
I don't know.
I wonder, could it be a side effect of your medication?
Or else is it in my head? Because so now when I go to sleep, I'm like, don't think about your leg.
Probably
don't
a
think
bit
about
of both.
Your leg. And then I'm like,
because whenever I have it, I always notice like the minute I acknowledge it, it gets worse.
I know. It's like a battle between my mind and body.
I wonder, could it be a side effect of your medication? I know. That's the only other thing I'm thinking. Because if it's like not going with the other shit.
Yeah, I know.
It could be. You should look into it.
I should.
Well, I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Sorry. I'm like, me. How are you?
Do you know what? When you are fucking sleep deprived, it's very hard to compute.
It's like you're on drugs.
Have you not been sleeping at all?
No, I have. Okay, oh, yeah. No,
just
I'm
lightly
grand.
Sleeping.
Just like in and out.
Evan like left this morning to go for a run at like 6 a.m. I didn't even hear him get up. And then I kind of woke up at one point. And I thought I heard like something drop in the kitchen. And I was like, so weird. And then like Evan wasn't in the bed beside me. And I was like, oh, maybe he went to work already. And then I kind of fell asleep again. Then I heard like it sounded like, it didn't sound like a banging. It sounded like, you know, when something drops and then goes, dun, 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 dun. And I was like, what is that? And then I was like, oh my God, it's someone at the door. And I had to like throw clothes on. And then it was Evan. Because our roommate locked him out. He was outside for half an hour.
No way. Was he mad?
For fuck's sake. Like he was banging on the door, then he went outside of the building to like ring the intercom because he should. But like I got these new earplugs and like they're really doing their job.
Oh, you sleep with earplugs?
I have to. He snores so bad.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to sleep with earplugs in it.
You poor thing. That's so annoying.
It's not because you get a really good sleep with earplugs. Yeah, because you don't like have any. Like I can be a deep sleeper, but if like there is a noise, it will wake me up. You know that way.
Okay. Yeah.
Like when I sleep deep, but like I can be waking. Like if I don't have earplugs in, like even like if like our roommate gets up for work, it would wake me up. You know that way. Mm. And then like sometimes if I wake up at like in the morning, I'm probably not going back asleep. You know that way.
Yeah.
So I don't mind. I've always kind of had earplugs. My dad works in construction, so like he'd always have them knocking around, and like him and my brother. But it is a
where
thing.
Did you get these ones?
I got these ones in Dunnes. You get them in like pharmacies.
Mad.
Little silicone, they're like little foam ones.
I'd never think of that.
Oh, they're so good.
I'd never think of that.
Yeah. Well, see, but they are a thing of like. I basically have to sleep in like a sensory deprivation tank. I need like blackout blinds, an eye mask, earplugs, lavender oil. Like
the lavender oil is incred.
Yeah, but once you go earplugs out, like it is a warning. Like you'll never be able to not sleep with earplugs.
It's the same as eye masks.
Yeah, Yeah. I don't know how people go to sleep with an eye mask
which,
on.
Like, it any blows time.
My fucking... I remember when I used to sleep in your old apartment with you and you'd have, like no curtains. And
what one in Marina?
This one. And, like, you'd have the blinds, like, your blinds were, like, net curtains.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It would be, like, beaming sun in the I morning. I was like, how
but
does
I sleep with like an eye mask and a t-shirt over my head.
Even that, like, I can't with, like, I need like blackout blinds because I always had them. I cannot if there's light coming in. Even like we have blackout blinds, and if they're like kind of scrunched at the side in the morning, yeah. The light comes in, it wakes me up. I'm like, do you know they did this really weird an experiment Evan told me where like they were trying to find out like the effects of light on people's sleep. And they were obviously like doing like, you know, putting people to sleep and then, or people going to sleep and then kind of seeing like how effective their sleep was and, you know, monitoring them and all that kind of shit. And they literally put like a laser on a guy's leg and it like drastically impacted his sleep. So imagine what like bright curtains do. Like they literally put a laser on his knee.
What?
Yeah, and like the whatever it is, fucking UV, I don't know, whatever rays they were put on him, like affected his recovery and his sleep effectiveness.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I find that so interesting. Sleep stuff is so mad.
I know.
I'm only getting into it because I've not been sleeping as like yeah. That's always been something I was just I never thought about. I'd always just go to sleep and be grand. And now that I'm like, ugh, and my friend Clancy is also like, she's having a bit of insomnia. So the two of us are like, ugh, texting about it.
Yeah, I've had insomnia before. It's so horrendous.
It's mental. It's like, I've not had that, but like, because like I'm tired, but like that I just can't go to sleep. But
that's what insomnia is, though.
Oh, yeah. True.
But if it's your leg keeping you up, I guess it's different. Because when I had insomnia, yeah. It was when I was really, really stressed. I think it was in my last year in college. And like, you're so tired, but you're just like awake. Like I would sleep maybe like half an hour.
Because you can't sleep. You can't like shut your brain off.
It's
or something.
It's just like your body. I don't know. It's like your body reacting. It's like it doesn't even really make sense. Like because you'd be like, I have to sleep. And you're so tired.
And you're so like the pressure of falling asleep is too much to be able to like
and
let you drift
like
off and
so
sleep.
So emotional. Oh. So touchy. Like I think if you've no sleep, it's like it just affects your mood so badly.
Yeah. But no, mine isn't that bad. Like I am good. Getting a bit of shut eye, don't worry on.
Good. So today we have some funny stories to discuss with you all.
Well,
thankfully, like some shit has been popping off again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think like we're slowly but surely edging back into the chaos that is normal life. Girls, am I right?
I'm so fucking ready.
So the first story we want to talk about today is Anna Delvey. And now Anna Delvey is a story that like first emerged in like, I'm pretty sure like 2018.
See, I never saw this until you presented me with the 60 Minutes Australia.
Yeah, which we'll get into because she went to jail.
Yes.
So Anna Delvey, or her real name, which ended up being exposed as Anna Sorokin. She was a Russian-born woman who was raised in Germany, moved to New York in like 2000 and I think 12, 13 around. And she basically reinvented herself. You know, to cut a long story short, she called herself Anna Delvey. She said that she was like the daughter of, she had a few different spiels. Like her dad was either like an oligarch or like from Russia, or he was like, he owned like multiple businesses. She kind of spun different stories to other people, but she basically like positioned herself as like, you know, a high society person, obviously of which there are so many in New York, you know. So she basically positioned herself around like, you know, I watched a video on her and like they did say like she was really smart in how she did it. She did it very slowly but surely. She didn't go from 0 to 100, you know. She didn't go from like being bottom of the barrel to hanging out with like hedge fund managers, you know. They were like, she started off with like cool people. She would hang out at like cool clubs where anyone can have access to, right? But she knew who to like approach. She knew who to befriend, which, you know, I mean, social climbing is nothing new.
And
you
isn't
know?
That just networking in some ways?
And that's what I find so interesting about this whole story, right? Yeah. So she kept doing this, and it ended like she got so successful at this, at her, you know, lie, in that she like was embezzling people out of like a lot of money. I think like the total figure was like $280,000 or something.
Right.
And what she was doing with this money was literally just like funding her like glamorous lifestyle. So it's not even like she was embezzling people and like putting it into businesses and laundering their money and not giving them the return. She was just like, she spun this story that she was about to inherit $60 million from her dad. She was getting this like trust fund payout. So she was kind of able to swindle people out of money for various scam businesses. Her ultimate goal was that she wanted to set up, which is one of my favorite like plot twists. She wanted to basically set up a Soho House, but for art. So Soho House is like a kind of chain of private members clubs. There's one in New York, London, all the rest. And obviously it's really geared towards celebrities because you're not allowed your phone in there. It's like a spa of Berghain.
Yeah.
You're not allowed your phone. You're not allowed, like, it's very private, but it's like, you know, pools and all this bullshit, you know, like restaurants and all that kind of shit. But she wanted to do one for art so that it would be a members club, but you can go in and like, I don't know, hang out with all this really cool art, and it would be for artists, but also for like people who wanted to like patron the arts and all this kind of shit. But she got caught. She went to jail, and that's when I kind of lost interest in the story, because like I was very interested and I was like, this is crazy.
Because was it on social media? Like, was it, did it get a lot of social media attention?
Yeah. It was huge. So one thing that they, we watched the 60 Minutes, she had an interview with 60 Minutes Australia. Which
do iconic interviews.
It's so good. They do the guy who does them.
And the woman. Yeah. She's bloody brilliant.
I love the guy. She's like, why the bloody hell did you do it?
They really ask like such cutting questions. Yeah. A side note, by the way, Dave and I have started to watch Grand Designs with your request, and it's so gas. And similar, Kevin MacLeod, the host, just asks such like,
I remember I was telling you that. It's like, where questions. The bloody hell's the money coming from?
And what about, are you, how's the budget? I know. Where are you going to get that money?
Returns of, no, my wife.
I know.
And it's like, no, my wife left me. We're in so much debt. Has Dave ever watched Grand Designs before?
No.
So up his alley.
I know, so
that is crazy he hasn't watched that. But yeah, I mean, I love the cutting questions. It's so, because you know when you're watching like an American interview with these celebrities and like they never, like they're always pandering to them. Like I'm thinking like the Oprah with the Lindsay Lohan. Like I want someone to go hard.
Oprah's so annoying. Like same with the Meghan Markle interview. She didn't challenge anything.
Yeah.
Like nothing. It was in a journalistic point of view. Like she didn't, she just like.
No Barbara Walters.
Molly called them. It was like, poor you, what? Oh my God, I can't believe it. Instead of being like, hold on. You're saying that you know, like challenging, you know, oh, it was so tough. It was so tough. But she's saying that she didn't even read the fucking paper. So how was it so tough in that regard?
Yeah.
You know,
I guess it's just like that different, you know, there's two kind of styles of interview. One where you just make the person you're interviewing really comfortable in hopes that they'll just kind of spill all. And then there's like this kind of interviewing, which is like more aggressive.
Trying
more,
to kind of catch them out.
Yeah. More Barbara Walters. And obviously like you get different, like that's why like people like Anna Delvey and what's that girl, Belle Gibson.
Was one that I followed, because like I guess, you know, you're saying the Anna Delvey one was huge, but like it kind of just depends on what you kind of see on your timeline and stuff, you know. Like for me and my friend and my sister Sarah, we both followed Belle Gibson.
Yeah.
And like she came out with this cookbook. She had a huge like Instagram following
vegan
back when
bitch.
Like yeah, she was like vegan, plant-based, whatever, you know, really wholesome looking girl. Pretty but not intimidatingly so.
Mm-hmm.
And she would put up all these like, you know, things that she was making food wise and then sometimes she'd put up a post being like talking about her health and tumors and stage whatever cancer and brain cancer and like pictures of like her head half shaved, like, you know, mental stuff, or like a photograph of like she's inside a hospital and all these tubes and stuff. But it came out that like, and she wrote a book saying that she basically healed her cancer through plant-based eating.
Yeah.
And like stopped chemotherapy.
It was her entire brand was the girl with, I mean, she became hugely famous off curing.
She profitized off it.
Yeah. And like in monetarily and just through fame in general. It made her whole career that she was the girl who cured her cancer with.
She was a mom as well. So that was another pull into like, oh my goodness, this poor young mom, like this son is going to lose his mother.
And
that
it got
kind of
like,
thing.
How did that get exposed again?
How does that get exposed? I think maybe someone had been following the story and wrote up about it.
I want to rewatch because she did one with 60 Minutes Australia as well, because she's Australian.
Yes.
And it's really, really good. But the Anna Delvey, that it was so interesting. She spoke to 60 Minutes Australia. So like, it was just, I mean, this is like a New York centric story. She went to Rikers Island prison. Like, that is like, you know, in Breakfast at Tiffany's where she's going to prison to visit the mobster boss. She goes to Rikers Island. It is like a notorious prison. It's like going to fucking Alcatraz.
That's crazy. And I mean, so this gal who I'd never heard of before is, wow, Miss Attitude. She is so fucking funny in her like mannerisms, and her just her overall kind of vibe is so staunch. She's so like... confident and just like seems to be having this like inner joke that only she's in on kind of thing.
Yeah, it's really funny because like that was the interesting point for me. Obviously I was interested in the story when it came out, but obviously when someone gets sent to jail, she was sent to jail for like, I can't remember what sentence she got, but she got out recently on good behavior. So she was obviously meant to be there for longer. And so that's when I'm kind of like, wah, wah, kind of thing, you know, like what are we gonna find out about what actually happened? And then so a big part of the story is on how she, one aspect of how she got found out was she was living in the Howard, I think, a hotel in New York, and she befriended this girl who I think used to work from there. She also worked for Vanity Fair. And
she was a photo editor.
Yes, sorry. Yes, that's what she was. And she befriended this girl. And I watched another video on which kind of expanded on the story a little bit more. I got a bit more info. So Anna Delvey had been racking up bills in this hotel. Like, because if you, as everyone knows, if you like are eating in a hotel and you're staying in the hotel, you can just charge your room, and you don't have to pay up front. So she was like getting all these people in for lunches with her, inviting them in for business lunches. She was schmoozing them. She would rack up these crazy bills just to impress people and to kind of add on to this lavish lifestyle. But she was never obviously paying the bill. So apparently like the Howard locked her out of her room and like seized all of her possessions. They're like, you have to start paying your fucking bill. And she then just like moved to a different hotel and like left all of her possessions and started to spin this story that like in order for her to renew her work visa and her visa for America, she would have to leave the country every while. So she invites this girl from Vanity Fair and two other women, one trainer. Apparently she would use this trainer in the Howard that was like $200 an hour or something. And she'd invite her friends. The trainer was like, her sessions were like a grand for an hour because she'd bring people. And she'd be like, yes, come on, just work out with me. Like, just because she was trying to like show off and like build this like crazy, like make it look like she was this oligarch that she's saying she was. So she invites her, the trainer, and this other girl, I can't remember who the other one is, away to Morocco. She's like, let's go to Morocco for a week. She rents out this villa, which is $7,000 a night, comes at like a chef, a butler, like all this crazy shit. And they're racking up a bill again. And day five comes in and like the house manager or something comes over and is like, we need you to pay like a chunk of this bill off now, basically, for whatever reason. Obviously, probably to be like, the bill's getting really, really big. We want to secure some fucking money. And the bill was $60,000. And Anna gave her card. She's like, yeah, okay, here's my card. And the card bounced. And she somehow managed to convince this Vanity Fair girl to put it on her card, like $60,000. And she was like, don't worry, like, I'll pay the rest, but I'll also be able to like get you back when we're in New York. And like, for all this girl knew, like, she'd seen this girl like living in a hotel, racking up bills, paying for these, or what she thought was paying for these, like, you know, personal training. So you would be like, you are loaded, like you have crazy money, you know, and money clearly is no object to you. So that's why you're weirdly expecting me to pay a $60,000 bill. But hey, never. She puts it on her card and she's like, but it'll be fine because like Anna's leaving after me. Like, this girl was leaving the next day or something like that. And she left. And then when she came home, she realized that the whole bill had been put on her card. Obviously, Anna was like, put it on the other card. And then she ended up spending like all this time trying to chase Anna, but Anna would be really good at like being like, oh yeah, I'm just, you know, when you're asking someone for money back and you're like, hey, can I have the €20 back? And they're like, yeah, I'm literally at the ATM now, I'll get it for you. And then they don't give it to you. And then you ask them again, they're like, yeah, let me, I'll open my Revolut and I'll give it to you now.
Yeah.
Doesn't end up in your Revolut and you're like.
Now that's when I was like, hold the fucking phone, because like this Vanity Fair girl went on a holiday and was all good to like live the experience. And I mean, come on, bitch. Like, regardless if I've seen someone around town, like, you know, with all this cash and like, you know, living a certain lifestyle. And then like, it is a bit insane to kind of just go into like a holiday. And I mean, shit happens. And like that whole saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Like,
well, I guess were that's they why she not, paid.
Yeah, but were they not, but then she's saying that it should have been, you know, then she was chasing her for the money or whatever.
Well, I think the prerequisite was that Anna was, this is what she did. You know, she has a like a history of doing this with people where she would be like whining and dining. And of course, as you said, yeah, but like there's loads of people who will fucking hop on board that. That's what she, like, she did this in order to like social climb and to get like access to different like people. So this was like Vanity Fair. She had all these people on her side, like getting, she wanted, you know, and that's when you come
in. I just find that a bit like kind of hypocritical from say like people like the Vanity Fair girl wrote a book about it.
Oh yeah, that Vanity Fair girl is like, don't get me wrong, she gave me like major fucking nerd vibes.
But
I was like,
not that, but I mean like, are you not just what she is? Like, you're basically saying like, oh, I thought this girl was rich, so I was like more than happy to go over to Morocco and to like be you know, in her presence and like getting these meals paid and like loving it, until I realized that there was no money. Then poor me, I was fucking swindled because I had to pay a bill. That is insane, that price. However, you were more than happy to live in this like villa with a butler. Like,
oh, I know, yeah.
I mean,
of course, like, I mean, you can like,
isn't that just a social kind of experiment almost, as in like, if you pretend to be someone, then you're gonna get all these like people who want that lifestyle. And then, like, it can bite them in the ass because she was lying about it.
She was seeking them out. I'd love to know more of why she tried to get friends with this girl, because, you know, she wasn't super rich. And she was, I think, also working part-time in the Howard. That's how they became friends. So, like, she was working as, like, a hostess and a photo editor for Vanity Fair. But, like, as we all know, like, a lot of magazines aren't, like, paying, like, you know, huge money. So I'm not really sure. I would love to know more about like their relationship. Like the fact that she wrote this book, it was called like My Friend Anna or something like that. It really reminded me of the Caroline Calloway story with Natalie, where I'm like, hold on, Natalie, like you were all for the Caroline Calloway experience before it just semi started to not go your way. And then you write this whole expose piece and you're more than happy to get all this fame.
Yeah.
So like,
and it seems quite one sided, as in like, I mean, you know, it's not like, it's just an interesting one, because like Anna, you know, she did obviously obtain this money that she was wanting to put into her art kind of idea.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
She never put any money in towards that.
Yeah, allegedly. Whatever. But
that's what she said. She's like, it's all for my art project.
But it is kind of like, she wasn't swindling. Like, if she was like racking up these huge bills, however the hell she managed to do that, was she, it is mad that she would have even footed the bill, when if she was like placing herself in high society, there's always someone to pay the bill. Why was she placing herself in that position?
She'd gain trust and access to more richer people, because rich people, like that level of rich, can smell a fucking like scrounge a mile away. Like, what would impress? Well, she made a really good point in the article as well, where he was like, well, you're really trying to impress a lot of rich people. And she was like, no one in New York cares about $1 million. And that's fucking true.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, she was like, maybe 1 billion for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's true. And they're the people that she was hanging around. So it's like, you know, in order to really fit in there, you have to be picking up the bill every now and again, you know? So, I mean, she was swindling people out of money. Like, let's be real. She was taking money from people, saying it was going towards like businesses and using the money to pay for shit for herself. Like, holidays, hotels.
And I wonder how she went about that. Like, they didn't get into that in the 60 Minutes Australia. Like, was she faking, like, you know, letterheads and shit like that?
I think she was, because I think part of how she got caught was she was basically looking for something, some huge amount of money off someone. She was getting it, like $20 million for this Soho House art thing. And she needed to provide proof of something, some documentation. And I think the person at the bank noticed that it was forged. There was, she basically forged a balance. Remember they said that in the 60 minute interview, she forged a balance of having like 60 million in her bank. And I think that is what pinged the interest of a bank who probably reported her to the IRS, and then the IRS probably looked into her bank accounts. They were like, this is like, where is she getting this money? She's not paying tax. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Now she denies any wrongdoing.
Which is hilarious.
So when he's questioning her, being like, how does it feel to be a bloody criminal? And she's like, I don't think I am.
I mean,
what is my criminal activity?
Yeah, she's like, there's nothing, only you think I am criminal. Everything she says, she laughs after, which I thought was so funny.
And she looks so different because they're talking about her court appearances and that apparently she hired a celebrity stylist. Now her clothes were shit, so I don't know who the fuck she was hiring. Rachel Zoe.
Well, I think she was trying to make herself look innocent.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, so she's not trying to turn up looking like drop dead. She's trying to come up, she's turning
just
up
the way
looking
they said it.
Dowdy
it was like,
and, but it was really interesting. Like, it goes into her like complete intrigue, like this person, like, instead of whatever with the celebrity stylist, that didn't interest me as much as the fact what interests me the most is that she did OOTDs on her Instagram every day of paparazzi pictures of her in court, and she'd be like, dress, coach, bag, Valentino. Like, and she just lists it every day, lists her outfit, what it was. Like, you are, like, she is so iconic. But like, don't get me wrong, obviously what she was illegal, but like, so iconic.
I mean,
as a Disney villain, come on, like, incredible.
It's mind-boggling. That's what is so iconic about it, that you're like, how, first of all? It's like, how does this even make sense? How did she get away with it? What?
Well, she didn't get away with it.
No, but for so long, like, how did she get to that point? Like, fucking gas that she was living up in Marrakesh with this bitch. She was like, I love getting free shit. Wow. Like, I mean, wouldn't you question that in any way? Like,
I don't know. Like, I mean, I know, like, the thing is, you have to remember, like, how good, like, really, like, narcissistic manipulators can be, you know, that way. And, or should I say, how manipulative narcissists can be, which I'm sure she is one to some regard. I mean, she's looking for this, like, she's not exactly.
Who
like,
was that girl that we had, that they had on? She was like an American, she was like
a psychologist.
Yeah, a psychologist who, like, wrote a book about scammers.
Yeah.
And, like, she said that we, you know, which we're kind of doing here, we can't really, we don't think of the victims here. We more so think of, like, wow, well done. Kind of like almost Robin Hood, like, you're fucking taken from the rich, like, gas, fuck them anyway, kind of thing.
I mean, which I find myself leaning more towards than anything else, because I am like, I mean, if you're that, it's fucking dumb to be giving hundreds of thousands. And she was smart about it as well, in the sense that she wasn't taking, until she got caught, which is always the way, right? You get too brave. But she wasn't taking millions from people. She was taking like tens of thousands, you know, that way. So it was like, if you're asking like a billionaire for 10 grand, it's like the equivalent of asking me and you for like a fiver.
And I mean, I can see how she can twist her brain to be like, what was I doing wrong?
She's like, they gave me the money.
And they never
asked for it back.
And also, is life not just, we're all pretending to be something a little bit. Like, I mean, you know, it's like every fashion designer says it. Like, once you're putting on an outfit, it's like, it's not you. You're going out and you're presenting a certain image of yourself. It's how, like, you know, in lockdown, we felt like a lot of the time I felt really dowdy when I'm in my sweatpants. And as soon as, like, you put on a bit of makeup and you put on something nice, even if you're not going anywhere, you feel different. So, like, we all present this kind of image of ourselves or this personality. And then, you know, when you come home, you're like opening up your jean bottoms and you're like, you know, when you're on your own. So was she not just kind of like presenting this image that then maybe could have gained her, like, you know, who are we to know or to say that maybe she did have this idea for this, like, you know, art house that people could come into, and it would be, you know, was she planting herself, being able to mingle with different people that would have, like, presented different opportunities? But, like, is that not maybe how some businesses could possibly start?
That's what kind of made me, like, think about it in the wider sense of, like, how many, like, corrupt corporations and CEOs and hedge fund managers, and like, how many shady dealings are done in, like, gentlemen's clubs, and like, how much money laundering, which will never be exposed because they're all in on it.
Like, can you get, I've always wondered this, can you get to, say, billionaire status with a clean,
hell no,
clean slate? You know, like,
no way. Like, there's like, no, like, flat out no. I would put all my money on it. Like,
that's what I think as well.
Every single billionaire And even in the hundreds of millionaires, I'd say, have done some fucked up shit. And like, I'm not saying like, you know,
send them all to jail.
Well, if they've broken the law, yeah, fuck off. Or start paying more tax, bitch. But like,
yeah,
you know, they, if I, from the least of the matter is that they all evade tax. They all have offshore bank accounts. They're all like, you know, trying to hoard their wealth when, because they don't want to pay tax into the country that they're paying. That's majority of the time what's happening. And that's on the lesser extent. And then you've got the worst extent where it's like, you know, I don't know, profitizing off of slave labor, all that kind of shit, mm-hmm. you know, and they, and they're the people who make so much money. And it is funny seeing someone, and be that as well, I do find it interesting and kind of intriguing that it's like a young girl, like she was, she's younger than me.
Wow.
So she was like 22, 23 when she was doing this, that like she figured out a way.
It's incredible. I mean, you're 23 like, and like
some Ocean's 11 shit.
I know. And you like you move to New York and you're like, I'm getting that lifestyle.
And like, you know, of the way, course you can make the argument.
The American dream.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, what American dream isn't fueled by robbery and shadiness, you know? Like, I mean, and also, you know, like, is all social status not a part of an illusion as well? Like,
yeah.
How do you, you know, whether it is racking up, you know, fake bills in a restaurant, what's the difference between that and like racking up fake followers on Instagram?
What's the difference of like, say, an influencer who dresses like, you know, with like Louis Vuitton or like Pretty Little Thing, but she has a Balenciaga bag or something like that, where, you know, are they not trying to show us that they have like a certain amount of wealth and that they're kind of aspirational? Mm, you know, we like, all do it on social media where we're like trying to maybe with our skincare or our homes look like they're better than they are.
Yeah, well, ourselves. Everyone 100% tries to project like a level of affluence that we don't have, you know, like,
yeah.
I think, and you know, I think that comes into probably just like capitalism in general. Like we're always like, you know, looking for the next thing and wanting the next and wanting to seem like
and
better
than
the
idea of like self-worth or how yeah. people think of us and stuff like that. We're yeah. so much more aware of that than ever before, because like, you know, before social media, if you got like a Chanel bag or something, you're just bopping around town with it mm-hmm. and hoping someone sees and notices. But like on social media, you're like showcasing stuff.
Or even
things,
like influencers, you know? Like who there have been some in Ireland who are like, buying fakes, which I'm not against buying fakes, but like buying fakes and presenting them as yeah. like this collection of designer goods, you know, like, which is again not illegal unless you want to go down the copyright thing, you know.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
get,
yeah
like
yeah.
Chanel suing your ass or whatever, but I don't think they really care. But like, you know, they're it's a victimless crime again.
It's like a lime wire thing in the yeah. sense of like we're all doing it, but apparently it's legal.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know anyone who's gone to jail if we're like selling actually there was that
Well, that's why LimeWire crashed, wasn't it? All that shit went. So cause I know, someone did yeah. get someone did get caught. But yeah, like I mean, and like I understand, like because I can hear people being like, you know, but she robbed from people, and I'm like, she did, yes, technically, but I really doubt. Like again, she robbed a lot of money, nearly 300 grand, okay, and then probably also like. I don't know, I'd say there probably was easily up to a million in unpaid bills because there was like 300 grand in the Howard, 200 grand here, like fucking Morocco. I doubt that bitch ever got her money back. You know what I mean? So there's all this shit. Like, I'm sure there was a huge amount of unpaid bills. And like, that is where there are victims in the sense of like, say, people who are working at hotels on like low income wage, they could have lost their job because of money. You never know, you know, that way. Or like people could have gotten trouble, or there was probably lower level people who felt ramifications of her actions, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But the people that she robbed from, I don't know, make up your own mind, but I doubt they cared that much about 10 grand.
I know, we don't know. We haven't really heard yeah. from them. We're just seeing this girl, and you know, we heard from the Vanity Fair girl, which just seems like, you know,
and she made a load of. Maybe she probably actually. Do you know what? She did make her money back, I'm sure, on that fucking book.
Very. Fucking
I loved
true.
Her being like.
And also, you got a trip to Morocco.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like like you got a trip to Morocco that
you'll
yes,
never do again. Probably.
But like, imagine if I was like, Jenny, I'm gonna like come away with me. I'll pay for everything. It'll be amazing. Like she got to experience this wonderful thing, and it's like I said, like there's no free lunches. Like yes, if I was then like, oh shit, I forgot my card, hon. It's 100k.
Yeah.
But it's like,
and that's what you get.
But you racked up a bill that was 100k. Yeah.
And also, that's what you get as like, that's the danger of class hopping so far out
yeah.
of your range, because like I think we've all been in a situation where like
Even, oh, you're more than happy to be like getting your shit paid for, like your meals when you're around like people who clearly have money.
But like, I think we've all been in a situation where like you've been the broke friend, right? There's always been a situation where like either your friends are just like working really good jobs, or maybe, you know, when I lived in New York, a lot of people were just way wealthier than me and they had more disposable cash. And like, there would be times where some of my friends would be like, come on, I'll bring you out to dinner, or, you know, I'll buy this. And like, obviously I'd be so thankful and all, but like, you know, A, not to push it, and B, you have to be willing to like, for them to be like, okay, we're splitting it this time, and you're like,
yeah,
don't sit at the table if you can't pay for the lunch. Like, I would never
100%. That's why I'm like, that bitch is dumb with the Vanity Fair girl.
Well,
like,
I think that bitch is smart in the sense that she just makes herself out to be dumb. I think that she was opportunistic, and I think that she was like, oh, here's this really rich person who's going to be basically like a sugar mama to me. She was taking advantage of the situation, which, like, I mean, so was Anna Delvey in a way. So like, whatever.
Yeah, like, how
they
could
were all in on it to an extent. And, you know, I think
she was doing the same thing, but just in a different outfit.
Yeah, exactly. And she got her book deal from it. One of my favorite quotes from it was towards the end, and the Australian guy goes, I wrote it down just so I could remember. He goes, nobody in their right mind would go into business with you now, surely. And she goes, well, a lot of people are out of their mind.
I love that. In New York.
Which is true.
She's like, the way she kept on referencing New York as well was, gosh, she's like, well, then I guess a lot of people in New York are out of their mind.
And she said, luckily they are, as in like, I'm still going to be in business, because then it goes in to say that she has a Netflix deal.
She has a Netflix deal, and then there's all these like in the 60 Minutes Australia, there's like all these scenes
the
of her like
of her
going around New York wearing random ass outfits, looking shit, to be fair. Like, she looked lovely when she was on the Zoom in the interview.
I love the way they pretended that was Zoom. I really do. I feel like, because it looked it looked fake on it. Like, there was like, we're doing it on Zoom.
And then they showed the psychologist as well on Zoom, but it looked like they were across a table. And stuff.
Same with her. They looked like they're on the same set.
Yeah, but once or twice you'd see like the Zoom.
Maybe and that looked CGI'd onto the...
Sorry, that's flipping gas. If like he's interviewing a scammer and then scamming us by pretending that they did it on Zoom.
It's also like, this is Australia. You don't even have COVID anymore, basically. It's grand.
Yeah, and well, maybe because like, where is she?
Oh shit! Yeah. Or maybe he went to New York then. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, because they were filming her in New York. The New York scenes killed me.
Like, she's wearing like
these huge coats and a tracksuit,
a burgundy snake print trench. Am I saying that?
That was one of the best outfits.
It was.
There was also this like camel coat with like a baby pink jogger set. Like, it looked like it was that Yitz Franz fucking Urban Outfitters.
Her hair was low-key frazzled.
Her face was so bloated, and like, she had these huge sunglasses
on. She looked so different on the interview when she had her makeup done, like when she was
she looked
sat
really
down
good.
She looked great when she was sat down in the interview, but like in the scenes of New York, she
I
looked
wish
like
I put
someone's
on
mom.
Like, I wish when I put on weight it went to like my lips and like my pillowy face.
I wonder if she got surge.
How? She's out of jail 1 month.
Alicia Lipfitter's there like...
I'm sure she has no money. Like, where is her money? That's what I'm also... I don't understand. And then she... And they were like filming her, and someone was like, love you, Anna. Because they were like, she has this like cult status in New York. And your mom was like, do you get that a lot of attention? She's like, yes, every day.
That is...
her dad is like also a truck driver. It's she was wild. Like, my father is oligarch from Russia.
She is... I mean, she's funny. That's one thing
she
definitely is.
And
regardless
and
of
charming.
The,
you can see, I can fully see how people fell for it. Because
she seems fun.
She's really convincing.
I can't see how people fell for it. I can't lie. I can't. I just cannot see how people would fall for that. Like, I mean, if someone, I'm trying to like put myself in the situation. I'm loaded. Okay. There's someone living in the Westbury that's bopping around Dublin in all the cool places. I would always question everything. I'm like that. I can't. It for me, she did an incredible social experiment to show that wealth doesn't give you intelligence. Wealth just like, they obviously are at such a high place of wealth and disposable income that like, you know, she for sure like, you know, kind of leaned into that just how easy it would be to kind of play with them. But like,
but it's like how anyone falls for any scammer. Like, you fell for your one Belle with her brain tumor. It's like, of course, in hindsight's always 20/20,
but like
when
people
you're doing
were fully stopping. I mean, there's a difference between like enjoying following someone on social media she apparently people like Belle Gibson, like I did, and I was like, oh my god,
yeah, you and know, loads of millions of people did, you know?
Millions of people did. Now there's a difference between following, like, you know, enjoying, you know, to some regard, it being a story and like following it on social media, but stopping chemotherapy because you followed someone on social media and you're trying to, like, I mean, I guess with cancer and stuff, you get to such a desperate point that you're like, I want to heal myself, but like, no, but that's like, a different pull. That's true. Where, like, you know, and a lot of, we've seen Christian rock groups do that same thing. Like there was a guy who, I can't remember what band he fronted, but he like faked cancer as well. He like shaved his hair and he had like tubes going up his nose, wheeling on a little oxygen tank every time he was performing. Like that is a visible, like, you know, a scamming thing.
But it's visible to be living the same life as your peers. Like think of anyone who you know is really rich. If you found out tomorrow that all of their money was on credit, which you can get when you're rich, or that all of their mortgages were unpaid, that, like, that's not, I'm not saying that's the same thing, but I'm just saying it's, that's what happened to them with this person that they saw living a life up to their standard. It'd be like any of your friends and then all of a sudden finding out that, like, wealth, everything was all fake money.
I think in wealth we do, or in Ireland anyway, we definitely do question, regardless of someone is presented, like we see it all the time with people online who would have, like, you know, this really extravagant life, this amazing home and car. We're always like, what the fuck, how did they get it, where did it come from? I don't get it. And until we get it, I don't think we like give them that status of being,
but like, in a city like New York, like she says, where there are just such a high density of multi-millionaires, she wasn't even saying she's like a billionaire. She was saying she was getting this trust fund again, which is like a completely normal thing in that kind of culture. She was surrounding herself with people, you know, probably slightly richer than she was portraying herself to be, but like she had been around for like 2-3 years. She got, became a well-known name. They also made that point where they were like, she always went for cool. Like she didn't go for like, you know, trying to enter into like this like super business thing. She was also going into places of other trust fund kids. You know, these other like people who were like, you know, just given money, and they weren't working for money. They inherited money. They were in a family of money. So like they believed it because she was pretty much living the exact same life that they lived, as in mom and dad are rich. Money is just there at all times. And, you know, they don't have a value of $1 million, never mind $1, you know, that way. So I can understand in the sense of like, of falling for it that way, because she was just positioned, she did it smart, she positioned herself in a way that like she grew within that kind of community, was taking small amounts of money from people, and, you know, also I think people would be more skeptical of her if she wasn't also paying for other people's shit, because I think that that made them be like, well, obviously she has money if she's like willing to, like, there was a story of her like tipping $100 to anyone who like picked up one of her bags like in the hotel. So it's like, you know, she's not just talking the talk,
at least
she's,
she was giving it away though, in fairness. Like, I mean,
she's like, that's ridiculous, I did never do that.
But like, I mean, isn't that also kind of cool of her? Like, I was like, hold on, so she's getting this money, is she not a fucking Robin Hood kind of character? As in, like, so she's acquiring all this money, however she did that, we don't, it's kind of ambiguous, and then she's tipping someone who's obviously in an underpaid job, who's picking up her €100, and yes, to like create the illusion that she just has money everywhere, but like, you know, she kind of, at least she was fucking tipping the people who,
Anna Delvey is a socialist queen, there we said it,
you heard it here first, guys.
Well, unfortunately she's back in jail,
she because got of out her of, visa
well, she
right?
got out of prison so on her sentence is done, but now obviously they need to figure out where, like, if she's going to get deported, because I mean, the girl also seemingly scammed a visa. Like, I mean, I don't know how she, but she's clearly fucking good at her.
Another insane quote from her was where they're saying like that she might have to go back to Germany, and she was like, what did she think about that? Or like, it was prison or Germany, and she was like, prison will be better than Germany, basically.
She was like, Rikers, I loved it when he was like, how was Rikers Island? It's a pretty intense place. And she was like, I would never, ever take that experience away. I think that was an amazing experience.
And I learned. And that I was learned so, so cool. much.
She's like, I would never delete that from my life.
I'm I like, kind of love how confident she is that, like, she's so... you know, we don't like the illusion that she creates is so strong that like she's not shaken by this. And then we see her in court, and like you're saying, maybe she was trying to kind of, you know, be seen as like this vulnerable, poor me kind of character, where she's wearing like kind of almost very feminine little dresses and stuff, and she was crying, so she was obviously scared or like sad about going to fucking prison.
Well, I think you'd have to be
another
level. It was it was you're right, like it was a strange crack in the facade of her, because you know, on one hand, in the 60 minute interview she was like prison was fine, and then you know it cuts to her like breaking down, as anyone would when you hear you're going to fucking federal prison, one of the most overpopulated prisons in the world as well, like horrendous conditions. But
she also looked very different in almost every scene you see. Like, I don't know if she did, if that was a purposeful thing. Now, she said that whilst in court she couldn't get her hair and makeup done, but like she just looked very different. Like, she looked very different when she was sat in the interview in comparison to the shots of her in New York, and then in comparison to that with the court case. I wonder if that was a, like, was she also kind of changing her appearance purposely? So
yeah, I don't know. It is interesting. I feel like
to not be recognizable.
She kind of looked, which
I feel like I wouldn't know her if she walked down the street.
Yeah, she's very like indistinguishable looking.
Yeah,
you know, like I don't think that's why I was shocked at people being like Anna, because I'm like I could watch like a 2-hour documentary on her, and she could be on my bus, and I wouldn't bat.
Like Belle Gibson, she had a real face that you'd know. Like if Belle Gibson got on a bus in Dublin, I'd be like, oh my god, that's your one fucking Belle Gibson. I wonder if that was if she did that on purpose. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it definitely looked like she lost a lot of weight when she was in court, because I'm presuming she was also being held in prison, because I think she was a flight risk, so they'll like hold you in prison in between your court dates if they think that you're going to like flee the country. And I guess like a huge scammer would be one of those people that you think is going to be a flight risk, and someone who's like from a different country. And then it's really hard to like extradite people from like different countries when they escape. So it looked like she looked very thin in court, I found. Even because beforehand she does have this like pillowy, really youthful face, and in her older photos she looked like that pillowy face, but in court I thought she looked really gaunt and pale, and as she said, like she had no hair, no makeup, very not glamorous. But like, I mean, it's such an interesting story. She's in jail now. We don't know if she's going to get deported to go back to Germany. But I'm here for the ride.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a wild one. So what do we got next, girl, on the deck?
Next, we are going to be talking about the tramp stamps. If you are going, what the fuck?
Not the tattoos.
Although, I think they're going to make a comeback.
I think they already have.
Tramp stamps?
Yeah.
Really?
With people who have tattoos, they've been kind of a thing.
Interesting.
So the tramp stamps are this band that went viral on TikTok, basically.
Yes.
And my sister played me their song the other day in the car. She was like, I'm obsessed with this like industry plant band that I found on TikTok, and she was playing me the song. And I mean, the first lyric, you're floored.
Will we play a clip of the song so everyone knows what we're talking about?
Let their music describe who they are.
The auto tune is bizarre.
It's very bizarre.
I can't remember the last time I slept with someone I actually liked and he went down on me. I can't recall
like,
a memory.
You're instantly floored.
Someone driving me home and not asking for a blowjob.
Like, I can, like, loads of times.
What?
And hook up with another
straight by guy.
Okay, so as Lindsay said, these guys went viral on TikTok. They went viral, I think, for the first time in November 2020, from what I can read. And TikTok, like, there's loads of different, like, avenues on TikTok. And if obviously, if you, like, watch one video, then you end up getting, like, served loads. And there is a whole a hole on TikTok, basically, of emo TikTok. And I was on it for ages because obviously once you watch one, and it's kind of, it is really built into like nostalgia. It's a lot of it's aimed more at people our age, I feel, who obviously were like emo when they were teenagers and back in the like 2005 to 2008 kind of era. And there was a challenge on TikTok where it was like, there's always these challenges on TikTok and it's like, put down a finger challenge, you know, those ones. So like there was one that was like, put down a finger challenge of emo songs. And I think these three did it and they only knew like three songs or something. And everyone was like, and when they were like, we are the emo queens, My Chemical Romance is my God.
I mean, they look gas.
They are hilarious.
Like they look like, if Trisha Paytas and Jeffree Star had a grown ass triplet set.
I mean, you're doing Trisha Paytas dirty with that one. They're like Trisha, like these are like, Trisha Paytas at least is completely but authentic, like, with her weird niche interests. These girls.
But I mean, like her look is sometimes mad. I don't follow her like, you know, as intensely as you do, but like I see like some images of Trisha Paytas and I'm like, gas. Like when, even when she was dressing up as your man from My Chemical Romance on Fremenies.
She like that. She loves a good like cosplay moment. But these are like mall emo. Like at least when Trisha does it, that's why I love Trisha. When she does it, it's not by halves. It's like she's turning up as Gerard Way.
Yeah.
She's turning up with coontails in her hair and like the most insane like wig moment you're ever gonna see. Like it's not gonna be like halfway there. Like these girls, their like version of like emo is like, they would be slagged even back in the emo days as posers. It's it's like Penny's emo.
It's beyond even posing. It's like it's so ridiculous. It's new scene.
So they,
it's almost
out,
like they've created this new fucking niche.
So they were going viral. They were doing covers of like Avril Lavigne songs and they had this whole idea. They were like, our band is called the Tramp Stamps and we're just three crazy friends who met drunk at a bar one night and decided to start a band. And it was like,
drunk in a bar.
I know, during COVID, what are you on about, bitch? Like who's meeting at bars during COVID?
That is,
and they just beyond. I know, they brought out this song and the song went viral in like the complete wrong way. Like not only was it being like torn apart for cringe, they also had, they managed to get both a consent scandal and a race scandal in the one song, called out by two different avenues of social justice people online.
I mean, how could they not have? Like, I mean, I'd rather die than get with another straight white guy.
I know. So
three white girls saying that. Like, I'm like, tinfoil hat is on. And I'm like, they did this to get famous. They knew. Like, how can you sit with those lyrics and be like, this is gonna be fucking fire?
Well, I haven't made my mind up on that yet because I don't know. We'll get to that when we talk about the industry plant, because that is really interesting and it is a good tinfoil hat. But first off, there's scandals, right? So the race scandal was people saying that you're like fetishizing people of color by being like
I don't want to get with white guys anymore. I'm over them.
I want to move on to like the next flavor of man.
Yeah.
And then they had a consent scandal because they have a lyric in their song which basically goes on to say like, I'm sick of you not being able to get it up when you're drunk and using the excuse of being drunk and
being
leaving
like,
me
blaming it on the alcohol.
Yeah. And then it's again leaving me high and dry. And people are like, hold on. If a guy had a song like this saying like, I'm sick of fucking birds passing out drunk, leaving me with blue balls, it's like, okay, that's interesting. And that is one thing I do enjoy about the new Gen Z, is that they really truly hold everyone at the same level of accountability, which I do enjoy, you know, that way.
Yeah.
But I mean,
and you do kind of learn how to maneuver in the world. Like, I think when first kind of, you know, that kind of like, you can't say this, you can't say that came out, I was like, oh, I'm catching up, because it wasn't, you know, we are from that generation where, you know, almost like, you know, Shane Dawson used it as an excuse where he was like, oh no, we just joked like that back in the day. It was crazy. You'd say outrageous things for that kind of reaction. And now, you know, we're not allowed to say everything just like, you know, willy-nilly.
Yeah, I think the word allowed is where like our generation gets so like, ugh! It's like, you're allowed to say it, but you're going to get a load of kickback.
It's not illegal.
Like you can say it if you want, but like you're going to have to deal with the ramifications.
You can't be questioned
it.
Over and you do have to stand by your words.
And challenged.
Yeah.
And then that makes you kind of second guess, which I think is better because I think it makes people more careful when they speak, because you're like, am I willing to defend myself over, like, you know, as podcasters, we would think that, yeah, like, am I willing to defend this point?
Do I stand by my word
to a load of people? Or would I just be like, do you know what? Yeah, that was really fucking
okay.
Dumb.
Yeah, you're kind of like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I will change my way of communicating, because that's the whole point, that we want to communicate well.
Yeah.
So if you're kind of using your words that aren't representing something that, you know, you actually fully believe in, regardless if, like, you know, think it's silly or if it's exaggerated, whatever. But, like, we do ultimately have to stand by, you know, who we are and what we present ourselves as. And similar, like, to, like, Anna Devi. It's like, do you stand by this? She obviously did by being like, I did no criminal activity.
Yeah. And, like, you know, there's going to be, you know, and I think that with that, you also have to accept that there's going to be some stuff that you will stand by that loads of people will have a problem with. You know, that way it's like, there's, it doesn't mean that every single time you get kicked back, you are 100% in the wrong. But, like, it does make you second guess some stuff you say of, like, okay, I'll be a little bit more careful in that way, or I'll check myself with this. And, like, yeah.
Now, sometimes I have been called out and stuff and I'm like, no, I'm right.
And that's what I mean. Yeah. Sometimes you have to be like, there is also ways that you can be like, no, I'm standing.
Well, you kind of learn as well.
Like the Movember shit, you know?
Yeah. But you also learn what you do truly kind of stand for and believe in and care about, because, like, there's some things where you're like, actually, I don't really want to use that word. I don't like what it represents, and I don't want to offend people with the word or whatever. So you'll just take it out of your vocabulary. But then in other ones, you're like, actually, no, I believe in that. I feel like I, you know, I'm entitled to say that, and I don't believe in your point against it. So you can kind of,
and we can agree to disagree.
Yeah.
And you don't have to listen to my words. But, like, this is a really good example of, like, throwing in this, like, unthought of lyric, you know, to be kind of like, I could see now, obviously, again, we can go into the whole thing later of, like, did, were they cognizant of this? Were they trolling almost? I don't think they're smart enough to be trolling personally. But they flippantly put in this thing to be like, yeah, fuck that, guys, not being able to give it up. Get your dick hard for me. Like, it's so cringe. I can see them being like, yeah, that is so feminist, fucking hardcore bitch.
And then I just don't get it. Like, I mean, the first lyric being like, oh, I'm in the car and I can't remember getting a lift from someone when he's not asked for a blowjob.
How about your dad?
Like, I mean, they look about 45. Like, what? You're getting lifts where? From who?
I know. Like, why? Yeah. Why are you in a car getting a lift? And then, like, I mean, I don't think I've ever been in a car, even with someone I'm dating, where they were like, sincerely, were like, can you suck my dick now, please? Never in my fucking life. And if they did, I'd be fucking smacking their ass.
Like, are they trying to be relatable with that? Like,
yeah, I think that's the kind of reach. Fuck men, man. Like, men are trash. I think that's the whole, like, men are trash, man. Yeah. Men just want our bodies and we will not give it to them. But I will demand their body when they are drunk against their consent. Like, where the fuck are you? Like, how did your brain come to
now? I think the kind of, you know, like a lot of things, I think that kind of consent thing, I mean, they're assuming that, there's that whole conversation about consent and alcohol, and that, like, with alcohol, can you ever be fully able to give consent? But, like, for me, that's, you know.
Well, I think the lyric in this is more, like,
blaming it on the alcohol.
Well, yeah, it's implying that, like, well, he says he can't get it up, blames on the alcohol, and, like, she's like saying, you're leaving me high and dry. So he's obviously like, I can't have sex right now. And she's like, fuming at him, which is, like, I mean, the very minimum, really bizarre behavior. Like, if you're fat, can't get it up, laugh about it, go to sleep. Like,
at the minimum, it's body shaming.
Yeah.
And, like, erectile dysfunction shaming.
Yeah, it's, like, not cool. It's like a guy being like, for fuck's sake, why aren't your tits bigger? It's like,
or, like, shut up. Well, it's the equivalent of saying, like, oh, you can't even get wet.
Yeah. Like, you need lube. Sorry, that's sick. You need lube, you sick freak. It's like 12-year-olds.
I'm sick of you blaming your dry vag on the alcohol.
Trust me. Trust me, it helps with that
dehydration.
So they obviously, someone made a TikTok then talking about them being an industry plant, which, like, I don't think I'd ever really heard the term industry plant. I know what it is now that I'm reading about it. I'm like, I get it. It's like this whole, like, kind of like a manufactured pop star, someone who, say, for example, Katy Perry is a really good example of it. She was like a Christian singer for years. And then, like, Dr. Luke got his hands on her, Kesha as well, I think, and just reinvented her.
Well, I mean, it comes with everyone. Lana Del Rey has been followed with that for years as well.
Yeah, totally. And I think Gaga is a bit of an industry plant vibe as well. And it is that kind of like, there is a fine line between like, okay, like,
it's not really defined.
Well, when the industry does sign someone, they're going to put a load of money behind them and give them like, you know, opportunities. And, you know, who are we to judge an artist for taking an opportunity? You know, we'd like if fucking Spotify came to us and we're like, hey guys, we really like your podcast. We're going to like give you billboards all around the
world.
Is it
not just marketing as well? It's like, okay, yeah. Say for, you know, with us, if they were like, okay, love what you're doing, girls. Let's get out there and let's be like, okay, you're two girls who talk about dating and like marketing it in a more kind of cringe, like yeah. digestible way, I guess.
Well, I think, well, if we were to make the comparison with us, it'd be like, it's, I think it also goes into the whole like sellout kind of thing. So a lot of the theory with them, sorry, my microphone keeps whacking off me today for some reason. A lot of the theory for industry plants is that they all had careers beforehand. They've all been like widely kind of like involved in the music industry to some regard, but when they all get mashed and put together, they end up making music that has nothing to do with their former career, and it's all just because like a higher power has told them, okay, you're going to be this pop punk girl band, but with this fake veneer of authenticity. And I think that's where the cracks really showed on this, because they went down the whole like pop punk emo route. It like, first of all, came across just so inauthentic, and B, it was real posery. And it especially when you're going in, when you're trying to like cosplay in a genre that really is so built upon like authenticity and like, you know, raw emotion. If you're going to fake that, I think it comes across really fake very, very quickly. And I think that's where they fell flat, because, you know, people were kind of like, okay, you're like saying that you're these emo kids. And then when people were asking them, like, people said, like, who are your biggest inspirations? And they were like, Avril Lavigne and My Chemical fucking Romance.
I mean,
like hilarious.
But I don't like, because first of all, with them being an industry plant, no one bought it. So I don't think it was a case of like they obviously have like the music video was like well done. So there was obviously money put into that and whatever.
They claim not.
Okay, but like,
which is hilarious.
But I mean, like, I'm just like,
but an industry plant doesn't have to be successful. It's just meaning that the industry plant, the theory of it is that they're like forcing it down your throat as like a ready-made success. So that was their whole thing. Like, people kept going, oh my God, this fucking industry plant, because they were turning up on everyone's for you page. They were like blasted all over social media. People were like, how are they getting these views? Like, are their views being, and that's another thing that a lot of people I saw when I was looking on TikTok about industry plants, that there's a lot of these artists that like, you'll go on their Spotify and it'll say like, say 1500 monthly listens, but then you look at their songs and their songs have like 4 million plays. And they're like, that means that their monthly listeners are listening to this one song 85 times a month or whatever it is. So they're kind of saying, are they amping up and buying listens to kind of like have people have this like pre-made career and pre-made success? So like, how much money is the industry pumping behind them to give a veneer of success and a veneer of loads of fans? And then it's kind of like the Anna Delvey thing, right? Where it's like, if you project success and project that you've loads of fans, soon enough, the public kind of accept it. And they're like, oh yeah, they're really, really famous. They're huge. They have like 15 million views on YouTube. And
but then
like,
who's winning? You know, like, you know, I think a lot of the time they're losing, because like, yes, they get to, people think that they have like millions of views and like listens and are really successful, but they're not.
Yeah. Well, that's the, you know? Well, they're not, but they do this to like build a perception of success. So, with the hope that then they will be called,
that people will just be
lucrative.
Like,
oh, they're huge. They're
yeah, great. Yeah. We'll jump on the bandwagon, yeah. Basically.
Because I remember there was...
trying to create like buzz around someone, a fake buzz.
Smoke and mirrors, exactly. Fake buzz and all this kind of stuff. So...
apparently, Clario's one. I remember...
Clario?
We were... That Vice article we read about tramp stamps. Mm. She's a singer that I remember seeing her on YouTube. And like, again, she's like this kind of real... like Pretty Girl is the song, and let me see how many views it has. 73 million 3 years ago. And she's like, it's kind of Lana Del Rey-esque, as in like video games. Like, the video is like her with her headphones on, like it's on a webcam. It's very kind of like put together, and like, I mean, crazy amount of views. And it's a nice song. It's kind of like indie, pretty girl, like music, kind of like really easy listening. But it has such a massive view. And like, it's like, whoa, who is this random white girl who has these huge views? And it's like this kind of put together, really simple video. So apparently she as well is an industry plant.
And, you know, it's interesting when you look at it in the sense of that TikTok, because like TikTok is now like, now counts, if you use someone's song on TikTok, that counts for charts now, and a chart counts for plays, so, and it counts for sales as well, I think. So if you see like all the top hits now, they're all TikTok songs. We had also that girl, you know, that driver's license song, that's a big like TikTok song. Yeah. That's another one they're saying is like a, an industry plant. Like she was on the Disney Channel for years. She had like all these like, and they always have these different like multiple backgrounds in the industry, but all very separate to each other. It's like they're trying this, didn't work. Trying that, didn't work. Trying this, didn't work. And then someone's like, right, let's latch on. They're also coming under huge fire for working with Dr. Luke.
Yeah, yeah. Which, so obviously they're coming out with these kind of lyrics that are kind of like trying to present themselves as these like, don't give a fuck attitude. We're not taking this shit anymore. But Dr. Luke is the one who, him and Kesha are embroiled in that kind of whole.
She like, accused him of rape, right?
Yeah.
And other, like loads of other shit, like really bad.
Yeah, it was kind of a complicated case, I felt like that.
It's very complicated.
And the way that the media
still going on
reported that, it was kind of like ambiguous. Like, you know, Kesha was quite open, but like nothing has come about that really.
I think there's still, it's all still going on. Yeah. It's very, because it's mixed with like, I don't know. I can't even remember.
The rights of tracks and stuff. Yeah. It's similar, I think, to kind of Taylor Swift
basically
stuff.
Yeah, like terrible contracts that fucked her over. And then she also had a load of personal stuff. So like a lot of people are kind of being like, okay, also on one hand, you're like coming out with these like proto kind of like Riot Girl, like Avril Lavigne, fuck white men lyrics while working with like, yes, a white man, but also a man who's like an alleged abuser. And like a lot of people have come out about that. Dr. Luke guy as well. He has pretty fucking solid allegations against him. A, either an alleged abuser, or B, at least like a swindler and like, you know,
taking advantage of
like, small artists and swindling them out of money and bad contracts and like just one of those terrible.
It is so fucking toxic. The whole thing, like when we're talking about Anna Devi and like this tramp stamps, it's like, it's just like money drives people mental. Yeah. It's so toxic, and it's like,
and the smoke and mirrors effect of it.
It's easy to kind of fabricate this life or this like virality now, like, you know, especially in lockdown, because like we're seeing, you know, the, like tramp stamps have never even done a show, so like who are we to know?
They met during coronavirus, man, in a bar, so how the fuck were they supposed to,
they're trying to perform. But like, you know, we're seeing like now that you can buy views, you can buy listens, you can kind of, we saw with even Nas where like you can kind of create this viral moment, you can like, you know, map out a way to go viral and basically get famous. And then that can, especially in lockdown when we were getting so much content from the internet, then that can translate into people wanting to go to the gigs. Now that's what's interesting to me. We're seeing as well, Princess Nokia, she has really got into the TikTok realm. Her music is now being like played crazily. Like I listened to her years ago when she came out with that song Tomboy and like loved it. And she is actually authentic. Like you can kind of track her pretty simply. Like
except for her changing accents all the time. I always find that really weird about her.
That's true, yeah. And that's
1 minute she's like, hey guys, what's up? And then she's like, I don't know, man. It's like,
yeah,
really, like you literally look at some interviews of her, like 1 minute she's talking about being like living off the streets, then the next is there's an interview and she's like, I've just always been one with nature. My mom would put like oil masks in my hair. It's like, okay, what one's a reality? Not saying that both can't be true, but like it's very hard.
I think it's kind of like she's a Gemini. She leans and she uses that as in a kind of excuse, as in like you know, she has kind of, I think she kind of has characters in a way, but I think
she doesn't give me 100% authentic vibes, if I'm honest. She never has. I don't dislike her though. I kind of like her chaoticness. I kind of like that it's all over the place, but like she doesn't give me someone who's like, oh, because I even remember, what was her first iteration? It wasn't Princess Nokia. She had a different name and she had this one song and it was like basically like Crazy Town. That fucking come my lady, come come. It was like that. She was like in this field. I was friends with her on Facebook somehow.
Oh yeah, I remember that song. Because I remember Sugar Pie. It's kind of Lana Del Reyes.
Yeah, it's like, so, and then, and she had a whole different persona. It wasn't Princess Nokia. It wasn't this badass. It was like this like ethereal fairy woman.
But I think that's still there. So you can see, like with Princess, no, I mean like the videos still exist. Mm. And she,
oh, is it still there? Is it?
Yeah, the videos still, really?
Ages. Yeah, because I don't know what, I'd love to remember what her fucking name was then.
Because I remember Destiny, I'm pretty sure.
Destiny.
Her, that's her actual name.
Oh,
though.
Is it? Okay, yeah, so, okay.
I think she kind of more so just has different characters. Like she plays the kind of, you know, Princess Nokia, and even the name, like she's playing a character, like this rap tomboy girl. Mm-hmm. But then she also plays the kind of like emo kid, and she did like that emo album. Yeah. But I think she's just like, I think I like that about her, that she's like, I don't have to choose whether I'm a fucking emo or a rocker or a rapper.
Yeah, like a Trisha Paytas kind of thing.
Yeah. Adaptive. And I mean, we see that like with even like Megan Thee Stallion, Cardi B, where they like are rappers at heart, but then they're saying, you know, like you have to tap into the pop kind of vibe. But like Princess Nokia has now gone down this like, it's like a niche of TikTok, which I'm only learning about. It's cracking me up though. Fiona played it in the car. And it's like, I gave your girlfriend Tuckus Lingus on the couch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, she's cute, kawaii. I can't stop saying that. She's cute, kawaii. Like, that lyric is so dumb. I'm like, yes, that's what I love. Like, dumb ass music sometimes. You know, when you just want to listen to pop music, not because you're like, I really fucking love this song, but it's like, it just kind of panders that, like, music's so dumb and silly. And the same with kind of, I think, Tram Stamps. It's fucking gas.
The Tram Stamps.
So if you take it in that regard.
I mean, they are like, it's literally like what we were talking about with like Ashley Simpson.
Yeah, it's They're, Ashley Simpson on acid.
Like, because people are comparing them to Avril Lavigne, and I'm like, look, I know like Avril Lavigne 100% was cringy back in the day, but if you actually listen, like she was she could sing, and she wrote songs, and like,
and she had a cool tone to her voice, like her accent came through. We love that authenticity. She was fucking gas.
She was hilarious.
Remember, I remember like an MTV.
I'm backing punk rock.
She was so gas. But like, again, like she was not taken. She was fucking laughed at.
She was. And she was called a poser and all that. But like
Skater Boy, you know, like.
I know, Skater Boy. So, but like a bop.
A
skater,
bop.
Skater
fuck.
Boy or this song? Skater but Boy.
Both, they both, I think, deserve fully iconic status because it's so
this
gas.
This is iconic in different ways because like it's kind of like, what would it kind of, you know what I would compare it to? Remember, it's Friday,
gotta get
down, Rebecca Black. Like, that is what this is. It's like internet song that they thought they were like going to go fucking viral. And they did for all the wrong reasons. Their ratio right now. So they have 347 million, or not million, thousand views, which like since April 14th, it's not incredible. We're not talking in the millions here, okay? But it's a healthy amount for a music video, I guess. Especially because like their primary audience is probably on TikTok. So they did transcend them over. Their like to dislike ratio is 3,000 up, 28,000 down. Wow. The comments are up. There's 5,000 comments. And they recently put up a Twitter like notes app thing, which people are also slagging them over. They're like, of course you do a notes app.
Now,
like,
I am obsessed with the start of the notes app.
Hi, fuckers. Tramp Stamps here.
And hi, fuckers. Like, I want to just imagine, I want to say that to everyone now. Yeah. Hi, fucker.
Hi, fuckers. So I'll read small bits of it just because it is so funny. So they
long
say,
as well.
Oh, so long. They say the misinformation and lies that feed this cancel culture are fucking toxic. And people were like, of course they mentioned cancel culture in the first fucking sentence. It's like, honeys, people not liking your song isn't cancel culture.
Or like calling you out for, you know, consent issues and stuff, where like you promoting this weird consent kind of lack of consent culture.
Yeah, in this
stuff.
Day and age, you're a ripe old age, come on. And denying it. And they said, we are three women who have been writing and producing music for many years, busting our asses in the music business.
I love that they literally are talking like emo, you know, like busting our asses.
So they say, they go on to say, like, oh, we crossed paths together. We made a band in February 2020. And our unfiltered conversations together led to the songs you are also pressed about right now. So punk fucking rock, man.
What I love about that as well is like right now, but come back to me in 3 years, you'll be agreeing with what we're saying. We're just a bit, we're just ahead of the time right now.
Ahead of the time while also making like nostalgia music. Funny.
Yeah.
So like they go on to say that they were approached by people to be signed, blah, blah, blah. We chose not to sign with the major label, so we have full creative control. This is my favorite bit. We made our own label called Make Tampons Free.
I mean, you can't make this shit up. You truly can't.
It's literally.
You can't.
Like, if you want to talk about 3 years too early, me and you, bitch, we called out this type of fucking feminism years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Make tampons free. And then they say, we own make tampons free and no one else. So fuck off on all of that. They said we wrote songs 100% between the band, so it wasn't ghost written. One of them mixed and one of them wrote them, blah blah blah. Fuck you if you're so fucking sexist that you cannot believe a band was created and built from the ground up by three women. Industry plant. The irony is fucking astounding. I don't think that's ironic. What's the irony in saying
and
industry?
That's like saying what, like, so we've never ever believed that there was a female band. Are you saying that,
or a female plant in the industry, like, what? And
but like they're saying that, like, it's the what we're disbelieving is that these that three people like it. Built themselves up. It's like, no, women have been celebrated
in the music industry, you know, for a long time. But also, like, you know, in the first sentence on the first page of your notes app, you cry cancel culture. The second page, you're crying sexism. It's like, what else are we going to throw in here? They go on to make all these excuses saying, like, oh, this person signed to that and that person signed to this and, like, blah, 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 blah. It's flattering that you think our graphics are so good that we couldn't possibly do it without a major label. Shout out to our 21-year-old freelance graphic designer that Marissa met in college. We fucking love her and agree that she's extremely talented. She's been credited on our post from the beginning. Rolling Stone, Newsweek, The Verge, Daily Dot. Shame on all of you. Girls, you're getting Rolling Stone writing articles about you. You should be like, thank you. Like Trisha Paytas always says, she's like, if someone's writing about you, you're relevant. She goes, worry when they stop talking about you. And it's fucking so true. They all go on and on and on. Let's start with you, Rolling Stone. Cute queer clickbait headline. We'd assume a reputable news outlet such as yourself would wait to get a comment from the band before releasing such a mangled trash and infactual article. It's like they start making this weird convoluted point about, like, is one of them gay or like, I don't really know what their point is there. They go on and on and on about, like, and then this is my favorite bit as well, because I'm like, this is why A, you should never make notes app apologies, and B, why, even if you're going to make one, don't be so specific. Because they start bringing up shit that I'm like, oh, someone else is getting cancelled over tweets. She's like, now let's talk about the tweets. Marissa tweeted about language. Marissa tweeted language when she was 15 that she is deeply ashamed of. This language is not true and the person that she is today, nor does she or the band condone that language. In 8 years, people grow and change. I'm like, okay, you copied and pasted that from, like, the influencer apology line. Yeah. Then they started to go on about ageism, saying that one of their members, yes, she is 29, and yes, she is married, but shame on you for age shaming her, because people are keeping, like, these look like old millennials, which is like, the people saying that are like 20, like 18-year-old Gen Zers, let them call us old, okay?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I thought 30-year-olds were old. They'll get to 30 and they'll realize
they do look old. And they look older because of the get-up.
Exactly. If they were just dressed like... like Heim or one of those bands, and we look grand, but yeah. it's like the bleached hair, bleached and then dyed pink, blue. They've got this dark emo makeup.
You have to pass the flame, you know. It's kind of like, I can see, like, say, Rilo and his friends and everyone, like, the kind of youth of today down the canal and all, are dressing like what I'm seeing kind of on TikTok.
Mm.
I am not going to dip into that style as fun as it looks, you know. I'm like,
and it looks,
it's not for my age.
I think it looks great, but it's like, I once saw a TikTok by a woman who was like our age, and she was like, ready to the fucking bullshit clothes that I bought on TikTok, because apparently I thought I was in Gen Z. And it was always like she had these huge tits. She's like, a bandana top. She's like, how the fuck?
I know, you get so bought in. And then you're like, oh, I want to wear that.
These, like a mesh top with dragons all over it. She was like, I'm 32.
I know.
Where was I wearing this? What did I think?
It's gas how, like, you just absorb stuff and then you're like popping that into your basket.
It does. It looks great on the little 21-year-olds.
I know. You just somehow forget that.
Oh, like, you truly do forget.
You're, I'm in my like mid-30s and I'm like fully shopping, you know, with these like neon colors, you know, and like mad graphic prints. I'm like, pop that into the basket.
They go on and they say, men create music until they're 900 fucking years old and have families, and nobody gives a shit about them. And then they end it all off by saying,
that is true, but
muddled your point there with the like 900 years old thing.
But also, are you comparing yourself to the Rolling Stones? The band.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, no one cares about them, but they also have such a body of work.
No one cares about the fact that Keith Richards has had like twins with this ballerina that he's now married to.
But, like, no one also cares that Debbie Harry has kids, do they? Really?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, or Aretha Franklin, or, you know, all.
Well, that's a totally different argument, because I know that Dolores O'Riordan and Sinead O'Connor have both come out about that. Like, as in just that, you know, it's much harder for a woman because you are the one getting pregnant and having to, 100%. Like, that kind of stuff. That's
like an unfair on life thing.
Yeah.
It's like also a reason why there's like a wage or an income difference between men and women a lot of the time,
and mom guilt and all that kind of, and like, stuff,
completely valid.
And like, our mom Shane, like, we actually talked about that on Triple X Girls, which was cracking me up as well, where we put out a gas Dave McSavage.
Oh, so funny.
And it's so true, like, you don't see, like, if Keith Richards can have, like, you know, these twins, these newborn twins, and then he's bopping around doing a world tour, no one would bat an eyelid. But like, if Sinead O'Connor or someone else has kids and then they get back on the stage, we're all like, the poor kids, leaving those kids, you know?
Like, well, yeah, because they're making the point that one of them is 29, and they were like, they incorrectly said that she had a kid, but like, what even is the problem if she had a kid? It's like, no, that, again, they were like 18-year-olds being like, an old woman with kids who's married, also married to a white guy. Let's not forget.
I mean, how, and are they still married? Like, imagine playing that to your husband, being like, hey, I'm going to release this. What do you think? Him being like, sorry, we're married, and you're saying that you've been getting lifts and guys are asking you for blowjobs, and the last thing you want is to get with another white guy.
It's like we can all reflect on our teenage years, but the song does not have to be written from our teenage voice. Literally. You know, like, our literal teenage perspective.
It is. Like, I mean, yeah, it's like, so funny.
I think that's also a preposterous thing about it, is like, the how they look dressed up in the gear.
Yeah.
Then them singing, clearly looking a chunk older than the perspective of the song. You know what I mean? It's not like, okay, say for example, you could write a song about like your first love and you broke up, but like, as a 31-year-old, I would write it more in a, like, you know, as an adult. But if I'm also dressed up like a young person being like, fuck man, Connor, don't give you blowjobs in the back of a car. It's like, okay, are you playing dress up, or are we trying to be a band?
It's honestly like opening up like your teenage diary.
And presenting it 100% seriously. Yeah,
like, because we did that for a show, do you remember? We did that for a show where I have like a diary of mine that was from like sixth year. And like, so the way I'm writing is so dramatic. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I know. Like, say now the way that I'm saying, like, I can't sleep. If I was to write that now, I'd be like, another sleepless night.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can get through this day. I'll have a coffee, maybe even two, and a cigarette to wake me up. That's all I need.
It's what all the poets eat anyway for breakfast. I'm going to have a poet's breakfast, coffee and a cigarette and a fucking head full of hate. So they ended up by saying, they had for some reason italicized this, which I'm like, that's a choice.
Okay.
We've been quiet for a few days, but not anymore. You've gone to the ends of the fucking earth to shit on us, have told us to kill ourselves, and have used conspiracy theories on TikTok as a trend to get more views on your own videos. Fuck you. You don't like our music? Don't fucking listen to it. We're not going anywhere. Comments are back on. Have fun, and don't forget to water your plants. Plant emoji. Like, you of course had, why is, like, can I just say, I want to dump all of my plants.
The way, 100 emoji.
The way people go, I'm on over plants. I'm so over plants. If anyone wants a few plants, come to my gaff.
Same.
Otherwise, like, I was thinking the other day, you know that thing on TikTok, they're like, what's your toxic trait? I'm like, my toxic trait is hoping my plants die so I don't throw them out.
Or like, throw them
planning
out.
Or like, kind of getting a little bit happy when I see a few leaves die. I'm like, oh,
that's for
guess I'll have to throw it out.
Truly, nothing gives me more joy than fucking a plant in a bin. There, I said it.
Like, I'm,
I
love over it. Plants.
And
like,
you know, when you push it in the bin and it breaks, and the twigs are like, rah, 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 rah. I'm like, die, you motherfucker, you useless. Like, I am so over plants. And Instagram ruined plants. Like, I started buying plants before they were cool on Instagram, and then everyone was like naming their plants. And like,
the worst thing, being a cat, like, being the plant mom is the new cat mom and candle woman. You know, it's the same. It's
so
true. It's the same type of person. Yeah. And like, don't get me wrong, love me candles, love me cats.
Oh, I love it, but it's interior.
But like,
you know, I'm loving it
and,
all.
And I adore cuddling up a little putty tat on my lap. Okay, but am I going around branding myself?
It's not a personality. Like,
having a fucking plant is not a personality trait. A, that's A. B, also, thanks for fucking exploding the industry and making plants so damn expensive. They did not used to be that expensive. You used to be able to pick them for a tenner.
And it gets into this weird competitive thing where, like, you know, people now want to be known as the plant person, and I have more plants and I know about the plants, and this is, and I'm like, It's fucking insane.
And to me, okay, I do not give a fuck about anyone who is claiming to be a plant person who does not have a fully sown, stunning, blooming garden. Then you
yes,
can have me.
Yes, a.k.a. My Alison Claffey.
My mom's fucking garden is like, and Evan's mom's as well, is actually beautiful, but my mom really puts
but your
so
mom
much fuck.
Is like a green thumb. Oh. And that's the fucking difference.
Yeah, that, I'm like, bow down,
now,
bitches.
But that's also
bow
like,
down, bitches.
But like, exactly, like your mom is not, like your mom just loves it and is knowledgeable.
Is not naming her bamboo plants, by the way. She's no. like, that's a, actually, do you know what? Here's another swag alert. You're going to call your plant Judy? And then in my mind, I'm thinking of that TikTok music. It's like, dun, dun. How about Carnivorous Furiosa? Like my mom is fully, I'm like, what plant is that? And she's like, that is a Fardicutus ambrosialata.
And that's the difference between our generation and our parents' generation. Like my mum's the same. Like my mum's like, did you see I did those geraniums and I did that? And like she knows what's good
my
for what
like,
season.
The phlostrums over there, aren't they beautiful? They only bloom for about an hour in July.
I know. My mum knows that shit too. I'm like, how do you know this? Like I was like, well, wow. You know, like bopping around in lockdown, like in my little 5km, I've been very much enjoying the cherry blossoms and the magnolia trees,
stunning, yeah.
Especially magnolia trees. I'm like, wow. When I see a good one of those, I just stare for a moment and then go on with my day. And I was beautiful. Like, Mom, it's not fucking gorgeous, that tree. She's like, magnolia tree, enjoy it. It's only going to be around for 2 months. Like, she knows how long it's fucking blooming. I'm
a
like,
perennial, I believe they're called.
That's beautiful that you know that.
My mom, I'll
I want to know that. But like,
when I'm my mom's, she's like, look at the aphids, or she always has these fuck, and she has these plants, which are lilies. Like, I don't know. She has this mad name for them, though. And they're so tall. And she's like, they literally open for like, a week in July, but she's to take care of them for the whole year. I'm like, now that is a plant woman.
Yeah.
And that is a plant woman that I will happily pay so much attention to, because now that I'm like, I did up our balcony recently and I was like I've got some herbs out there. And now like I've really realized that when I get a gaff, like I really want to like grow herbs and grow maybe some vegetables and stuff like that.
Yeah, that'd be so cool.
And just to have a really nice garden is such a fun project, but also just to have like loads of herbs and like a little greenhouse.
Well, I think it's a really like fulfilling hobby. And that's where like our generation wants to kind of like, I love that we're now getting into plant drama.
I like it. Let's start it.
Yeah.
Plant drama.
Because this is the fucking difference. And this is like, this is exactly kind of what spoke to me. Okay. Now I have moved and I've brought one plant.
Mm-hmm.
Two. Mother-in-law tongue. What's that one? Snake plant. Or
I love my
tongue.
Snake plant.
Because they fucking don't take any care.
They always look stunning.
I know. I love how like erect they are.
I know. There's like boing.
I know. And then I brought my bird of paradise.
Yeah.
Now I bought that in Malahide, and me and Fiona were like, oh my God, I've been seeing them on the gram. I was dying to get one. And wheeling it out of the plant center, and this like man came over to me and he was like, that is a beautiful bird of paradise. Wow. I actually grew one from seed. It took 10 years. I was like, I've just bought this thing.
You are the G.
Yeah, I was like, with no, like, that didn't even come into my head of how long it would have taken to grow this thing. I'm like, oh yeah, got it. Cute in my house. Love it. Water it once a week.
Yeah, like, no, I'm firmly...
And that's not fulfilling. You know, where people are trying to say like, oh, plant mom. It's like, I remember like I got into plants because I was like fucking following some like YouTuber in New York bitch who was like, plants make me feel so good, because like you're seeing something, it's apparently like for your mental health. It's good to have like something living in your house
and
that
they
you
clean
water
the air as well,
yeah,
nice.
And all that shite. But like, you know, then I found myself trying to find the plants that took the least amount of care, and the ones that take the least amount of care usually are the ones that don't grow that quick, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so you're not actually getting that like experience of seeing something, tending to it and watching it grow, say as your mum or my mum are getting from their gardens.
Yeah, because my mum literally like starts planning her garden in like January.
And isn't that the difference, that our generation is so like, nah, I don't like the fact that I have to look at the Mingan soil for a while. I just want to buy the plant to make it look, you know, the
or way. Like the, like, you know, when people nowadays, and we probably see, because a lot of people we know are like buying houses, or that's, you know, our generation now are like starting like renovation Instagrams, and like they always get the like pre-grown grass in their garden.
Yes.
And my mom and dad would never.
Oh my God.
We used to watch, what was that fucking show?
And it's so spenny.
It's insanely expensive.
And like in comparison to like seeds, which are like,
yeah, no,
a couple cents.
What was the show that they would do up one room and they do up your garden?
Did they do the garden as
yes,
well?
Yes, because your man did it. What was that guy?
Oh,
I
know him.
You know,
curly hair.
Yeah, the curly, and apparently his garden is like insane. Apparently he has an Instagram. I can't remember where I was listening to this. I'm probably going to out myself as listening to one of our haters podcast or something. But he has,
what is his name?
Oh no, it's not our haters podcast. Sorry, I was actually listening to the Unpopular Opinion. They were talking about it.
Our lovers.
He has apparently an insane garden. It's like a jungle, which I'm wow. like, I'm like, that slaps, you know?
But yeah, and I mean, again,
it's outdoor
something,
garden. Oh,
I love looking at gaffs on Daft or mm-hmm. my home or whatever. And there was one that has like a Japanese style garden.
Oh, stunning. I love Japanese plants.
Like, beautiful.
Like Malahide Castle.
Yeah. Oh,
I divine. Love that. But yeah, they used to do one where he would do the garden and someone would do a room. I can't remember the name of the show. Let me know if anyone fucking remembers it. And he would always put the rolled out grass. And I remember that we would watch that when we had like, we moved to the home I grew up in when I was like probably 5 or so. But then like by the time there was a lot of work to do on the house, by the time my mom and I got to the garden, I was probably about maybe 10 or so. And I remember we were growing grass and I was like, oh, we could just get that. And my mom and I were like, because we had all this like, these like sticks and like fucking strings.
Oh, and it looked rotten. I remember my mum doing like, the grass in our garden too.
Yeah, it's it looks
big brown. And then it like
and they sprout
and it grows like different types.
I know. I'm like, how is it going to like stick alopecia. Into the? It does look like alopecia. It's like those hairless cats when they start to grow hair randomly. You're like, oh, what?
It's like when you've gotten laser and it starts to grow back in weird fucking tufts. You're like,
yeah, you haven't shaved in a while and you look down and you're like, oh, I've got an inch long
hair. I'm
pretty
sure I said the same to my mum. Like, why just buy the rollout one? And my mum's like, 50 euro a roll.
I know. My dad's like, are you absolutely insane? But that's so true. Their generation are happy to sow the seeds and watch the grass grow. Ours want the
and
rollout.
Not, yeah.
Rollout grass.
And it not be the perfect grass, because I think like only that row like grass is like so
dense,
yeah, so
and no
like
weeds
fertile
and
like all natural looking,
yeah but it looks like astroturf, but anyway
it does
a little bit of pranch,
but anyway,
enjoy drama.
It enjoy your row like grass.
Yeah. I'll be sowing seeds.
Yes I like that. I think we should take more from our parents rather
yeah,
than
yeah. I'm leveling up. I'm gonna be doing window baskets, just so you know. That's okay. I'm doing that now from my balcony.
And because in where you live and the other balconies, there is like plant war going on.
Oh,
my nan
yeah.
had it in her balcony. Mm. Like there was like this unspoken of plant
balcony
war.
It's balcony like war. Flexing. We are all flexing on each other. And like she has a few fucking geraniums up there. Jesus, they're in beautiful condition.
Like there was one
very high maintenance.
There was one opposite my mum's or my granny's balcony. And it was just known as like, whoa. That balcony is the goat. It yeah. was like so flourishing, fucking flopping plants everywhere, beautiful colors, like
that,
stunning.
That's way more impressive than like a fucking few cheese plants. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Anyway, girls.
Lidl's.
Right, girls. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.